And while they're doing it, if you could open your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. We're going to be reading starting at the 37th verse. Here is the reading of the word of the Lord. See, I am going to gather them from all the lands to which I drove them in my anger and my wrath and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place and I will settle them in safety. They shall be my people and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, and that they may fear me for all time, for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, never to draw back from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing good to them. And I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good fortune that I now promise them. Fields shall be bought in this land of which you are saying, it is a desolation, without human beings or animals. It has been given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Fields shall be bought for money, and deeds shall be signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, of the hill countries, of the Shephelah, and of the Negev. For I will restore their fortunes, says the Lord. This is the reading of the word of God. Turn to your neighbor and don't touch him, but turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, neighbor, God wants to upgrade you. The well-known kingdom evangelist, Beyonce Knowles Carter, in her song, Upgrade You, she is, says, I can do for you what Martin did for the people. Ran by men, but the women keep the tempo. It's very seldom that you're blessed to find your equal. Still played my part and let you take the lead role. Believe me, let me upgrade you. The reality is that many of us hear the words of evangelist Beyonce and want to be upgraded by God. But because of the period and the time that we might find ourselves where we are mentally attacked, socially ignored, financially oppressed, relationally disconnected, and spiritually wounded, identify more with the situation that our brother Jeremiah finds himself in. At this point in his life, Jeremiah has been prophesying the word of the Lord as been instructed for approximately 40 years to five different kings of Judah and to the people of Judah, and very few people have listened to him. Though he isn't being heard by the masses, Jeremiah in this text is being oppressed and treated unfairly by a governmental structure that wishes to keep the people of God from following the word of God. Jeremiah has been thrown in prison. Zedekiah now sits on the throne of Judah because if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar has placed him there, but Zedekiah has already attempted to distance himself from the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. So now Judah finds itself in the midst of being attacked by Babylon. The Babylonians have already hitched ladders to the wall of Jerusalem and are about to overtake it, which brings us to this point in our history. The one who is in jail, Jeremiah, gets a visit from the one who is free, Zedekiah. And Zedekiah goes to him and says, Jeremiah, you're in jail. You're in a bad position. Jeremiah in the text is angry. He's frustrated. He is mad. But Jeremiah, why do you continue to say, "Thus saith the Lord," when you're in this position? And Jeremiah tells him, responds to him, and says, "Well, Zedekiah, if you must know, it's because I got a word from the Lord." Let me stop right here and tell you that it is very interesting that the one who is free comes to the one that's in jail for a word. I'm gonna say that again. Think about this. The one who is free, to walk around and who's free to do as he like, who's in command of Judah and in charge of Judah, comes to the one who is in jail and says, "Why do you keep coming? Why do you keep prophesying the word of the Lord?" And Jeremiah again says, "I got a word. I got a word." And here is the word. He says, "Zedekiah, the Lord told me that my cousin Hanamel is going to come to me and offer me to buy a field in the suburbs of Jerusalem because it is a part of my inheritance right." And guess what? My cousin came. And so remember, Jeremiah is in jail and Anatoth, the suburb, is outside of the city, and Babylon has already overtaken this suburb. But because Jeremiah gets a word from the Lord that his cousin is going to come to him and makes this offer, this sends Jeremiah to buy this property. Jeremiah goes through the process of purchasing the property. He pays him 7 ounces of silver. He signs the deed of purchase. He seals one copy in front of witnesses and leaves another copy open and says to Baruch, he says, "Listen, I want you to put these into a clay jar, and I want you to bury this. I want you like a time capsule, because this is the word of the Lord." And I want to interject this. I needed to say that because some of us need to be reminded, like I told you a couple of weeks ago, that our current situations do not always reflect God's plan for our lives. Because in Jeremiah 24, remember I told you that we couldn't understand the sovereignty of God always based upon our current circumstance. But what we need to do is we need to do what Jeremiah did, and Jeremiah got a word. Some of us are struggling right now, and we're saying, "God, I need you to give me more friends. I need you to give me more money. I need you to give me more favor." But I want to tell you before I get into this message that you don't need any more money. You don't need any more friends. You don't need a get rich quick scheme. What we need is we need a word. We need a revelation. We need to know what God is saying and what God has has for our lives. So if you are lacking confidence in the plan of God for your life, I want to tell you that get a word from the Lord. If you are feeling bound in any specific area of your life, I want to encourage you to get a word from the Lord. If your relationship feels stuck, I want to encourage you to get a word. If your money is acting funny, I want to encourage you to get a word from the Lord, because a revelation from God, a word from God, will have people thinking that we are free even in seasons where we are in prison. Y'all get that later. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Once you get a word from the Lord, once you get a revelation for what God wants to do in your life, then we need to act on what God tells us to do, which leads me to my very first point. Now, all of a sudden, Jeremiah finds himself who in prison, but remembers that God still holds his future. Jeremiah, I'm sure, begins to remember the revelation that God gave him approximately 40 years ago. And if you go back to Jeremiah 1, he tells him, he says, "They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to give you salvation." Somebody needs to rethink to give God the glory for that. Because even though they're against you, or it seems like they're against you, the Lord is with you and he will be your salvation. The Lord is doing exactly in the life of Jeremiah what he said he would do. And this word from him that your cousin is going to come and sell you this property is confirmation that God has not forgotten about me. And so this does something that we have to do. It causes Jeremiah, it reminds Jeremiah that wait a second, though I'm in prison, this is not the portion that God has for me. Though it might seem dark, this is not what God says about my life. And some of us, before we can take the next step in our lives, have to realize and have to remember what God says about us. Because when you remember what God says about you, then you can respond in the way that God says about you. What does God say about me, preacher? I'm glad you ask. He says you are blessed in the city. He says that you are blessed in the field. He says that I will bless your coming and I will bless your going. He says in Psalms 27 that for in the time of trouble, he will keep me safe, and in the secret place of his tent, he will keep me from men's eye. He will set me high upon a rock. In Deuteronomy 31:6, he says, "Be strong and take heart. Have no fear, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not take away his help from you." In Psalms 91, he says that 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 shall fall at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. And so once we understand the word of God, then we can have the reverence of God, because once we understand and have reverence for God, then that begins to outweigh the thoughts that the enemy wants to have in our mind, which brings me to my very first point. My first point today is that the fear of the Lord is the door for the blessing of the Lord in your life. The fear of the Lord is the door to the blessing in your life. I wonder How many of us, I wonder how many of us really can understand and have an understanding of the plot and the plan and the meetings that are had in hell to keep us from the purpose and the plan of our lives. I wonder, do you really understand how the enemy sits around and says, well, if I could do this to her, if I can do this to him, then maybe they won't believe what God says about them. If I can introduce this into their lives and into their generation, into their great-grandfather, then maybe I can derail them from the promise of God that is on their life. I wonder if you really understand how Satan, how Lucifer, how our adversary knows that he might not have been able to stop God from creating Adam and Eve. He might not have been able to stop God from creating Eden. But if he can disrupt the relationship between God and his creation, then he might be able to slow us down a little bit. But I think we need to remember that God has not put us in a space where he has left us, but because we carry the shame, y'all know what shame, y'all know about shame, we carry so much shame that we choose to abort what God has called us to do. And so anytime he introduces sin into our lives like he did in Genesis, then what sin does is sin enters us into periods where we now have to deal with shame. And so now if I can shame you into not believing that God doesn't love you, then now you won't go after what God says. If I can shame you into thinking that God has forsaken you, then now maybe when God says that you are the head and not the tail, you can be like, yeah, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. If I can shame you into thinking that you're always going to be broke, then maybe when somebody says that prosperity is a part of your kingdom, right, you can go, nah, that's for them other people. That's not for me. If I can shame you into thinking that all of the things that you've done that were not godly are keeping you away from God, then I can stop you from doing what God has called you to do. But God has said that, listen, that those things don't keep you from me. As a matter of fact, they actually draw me closer to you, because sin and shame are nothing compared to the word that God has for your life. So Jeremiah completes the transaction with his cousin Hanamel in a deal that's pretty much how we buy property today. And it reminds him that God has a perfect credit score. Y'all know that, right? God has a perfect credit score, right? Like 850, whatever the number is, 900, whichever one you're looking at. But God has a perfect credit score. And Jeremiah begins to remember that, wait a second, I've been following God for all of this time. And God has never failed. He's never defaulted on a promise. He's never not showed up when he told me he was going to show up. So he says, You God have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm, and there is nothing you are not able to do. You God have mercy on thousands and send punishment for the evil doing of the fathers of their children after them. The great, the strong God, the Lord of armies is your name. God, you are great in wisdom and strong in act, whose eyes are open on all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone the reward his ways and the fruit of his doing. What he is doing is he is saying, wait a second, I'm in prison, but I just realized that I might be in prison, but I serve a God who controls the universe. And so I'm going to worship and praise him even in the midst of prison. And somebody here needs to think and remember that even though you are in the midst of prison, once you get a word from God, that is going to begin to give you a worship for God that you have not experienced, that you will be able to survive whatever is being thrown at you, that even if your situation doesn't change, that you're going to change in the situation. And the Lord responds to Jeremiah by telling him, that not only am I going to do what I said in your life, Jeremiah, not only am I going to accomplish the thing that I have sent you to do, but even though you are in prison, that I am going to be here with you. I'm going to protect you just like I said I was going to do all the time. Somebody needed to hear that. God is going to protect you even though it looks like you out here by yourself. Now, had God have stopped there, I would have been like, all right, that's cool. But God also then says something that I found very interesting. He says, see, I am going to gather them from all the lands which I drove them in my anger and in my wrath and in my indignation. I will bring them back to this place and I will settle them in safety. They shall be my people and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way and they will fear me. This to me sounds very similar to what happened in Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, if you remember, this is where Adam and Eve have been deceived by the serpent. Y'all remember that? And in Genesis 3, he comes and says, Adam, where you at? Where are you at? What did you do? And Adam says, oh, it was that woman you gave me. Y'all know we love to do that. It was the woman you gave me. It was the kids you gave me. It was that job you gave me. And they go through all that. And he says to him, listen, he says, cursed is the ground. And he curses the ground. And then he says, he doesn't curse the woman. He says, woman, you will have, you're going to have childbirth pains. And he says, man, that ground that was supposed to just give you stuff, now you're going to have to work for it. And after that, he says, but to the serpent, but now I have created enmity between me and you and between creation and humanity and you, that now they will bruise your head and you will bruise your heel. This text is very similar because in both texts, though God does punish us, he does offer his grace and a promise of his restoration. Which brings me to my second point, that our future hope rests solely on God. Our hope surely rests on God. That if God, thank you for doing that right, God's promises to restore his people never ends. Thank you very much. Y'all told you, y'all keep me together real good. because even though we have sin and we have shame and we have consequences, because Paul says that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though we have those, God never takes his grace from us. He never removes the mercy factor from us. He never walks his away from us, even though we turn, like the text says, we turn our back to him. God doesn't do that to us, but instead, he reminds us that our promise, that his promise never ends, that his promise to never leave us and to never forsake us has never wavered and has never changed his mind. He never said that I'm not going to love you with an undying love. He's always said, come back to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon me and learn of me. God has never put us in a position where he has left us, but has said that even though you walk away from me, I'm going to pursue you in such a way that my love will bring you back to me. God's love never changes. And if there is nothing else that you hold on to do to today, if you don't remember anything else that I say, please remember this. When God restores something or someone, it is always better than what it was before. before this prophetic message that God gives to Jeremiah, the relationship between God and man has been fractured. But God is now promising that when I restore you, instead of you having to bring doves and bulls and goats to me in order to keep our relationship, I am going to provide. I am going to provide the blood for you, so that my blood is what keeps the covenant, that my son is the one that makes sure that we are always in right relationship. And so this is my third point. My third point is that our future hope rests on God. If you missed what I just read earlier, you missed. So I'm gonna read it one more time. He says, "See, I am going to gather them to the place that I drove them. I will give them one heart that they will be for me. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will do good. And I will plant them in this land. And just as I have brought all this great disaster, so I will bring upon them all of the good fortune that I now promise them." Our hope does not any longer rest on ourselves, but rest on what Jesus did for us, what God did for us on the cross. And so now that happens, now we don't have to perform. We don't have to deal with shame. We don't have to wonder if we're good enough. We don't have to wonder if God is going to leave us. We don't have to wonder if God is really interested in blessing us. We don't even have to wonder if God remembers us, because he says that I am going to do the work. I am going to upgrade this relationship so that now the thing that you had to do, I'm going to carry it for you. The thing that you thought that you had to manage, I am going to do it. The protection that you need, I am going to make sure that you are covered. I am going to supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I am going to make you the head and not the tail. I am going to put you in position in heavenly places. I am going to turn the boss's heart towards you, so that now when you should not have been in a place of favor, now you are favored. I am going to love you with an undying love. I am going to send my son and make a way out of no way for you. I am going to be the one to show you that what real love looks like. I am going to be the one that covers you in the midst of a world that doesn't want my word in here. I am going to be the one that goes before you when you go to work. I am going to be the one that restores your marriage. I am going to be the one that saves, that fixes that thing that is sick. I am going to be the one that does the work. And all you got to do is you just got to remember that what my word is, and live and act like you belong to me. I'm going to upgrade you. Somebody needs to understand, God wants to upgrade you from a place of shame, or from a place of where you feel left out, to a place where you know that you're in. God wants to upgrade you from thinking that it's over to where it's not over. It's just getting started. I want to upgrade you from a place where you think that you're not worthy enough, to where you understand that you have the authority of Jesus, that the same authority that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Do you understand that the same authority that raised Christ from the dead is in us? And when we understand that, that completely changes the paradigm of our life, because now shame has no place. Because guess what? My daddy says that I'm good. My daddy says that I don't have any need. My daddy's going to supply what I need. My daddy's going to cover me. And so when he does it, he says, I'm going to upgrade you and place you in a position where there is nothing that you can't have, that there is nothing that you can't accomplish, that there is nothing that the enemy can take from you, that there is nothing that I won't redeem and I won't restore, because I am the upgrader. And when God upgrades us, it's always better than what it was before. Somebody give God a praise. Y'all got to do better than that. Come on, give God some praise, because God is saying, listen, I'm here for you. I've came I've came to upgrade your life. So I want to leave you with this. Our future hope rests on God. So all you who are weary and heavy laden, rest in God. Paul says that the only thing that we are supposed to be working for is to enter into God's rest. Ain't that that's deep. So you and I don't have to work by the sweat of our brow. We don't have to produce by what we don't have to no longer say, listen, if I don't do it, it ain't gonna happen. No, you a kingdom kid. If God be for you, there's nothing that can be against you. If God has revealed that it's yours, even if you're in prison, it's yours. You can take that to the bank. And that's what Jeremiah does in this chapter. He says that because God told me to do it, I'm going to do it generations before it's going to happen. This happens. Jeremiah makes this transaction. Y'all do realize Jeremiah makes this transaction, and it didn't happen right away. It happened years later, but he understood that if God said it, you might as well take it to the bank because it's done. And anybody who knows anything about buying distressed properties, you know that when you buy a property, you buy low because you know it's gonna get high. You buy it when it's really low because you understand that at some point the neighborhood is gonna change. And when that investment you made back then for $20,000 might all of a sudden gonna turn into $300,000 because you bought at the right time. And I'm telling you that God is saying that even though it looks like things are low, God is going to turn it around in your life. Even though it looks like it's not going to work, it's going to turn around in your life, because if God says it, that's the final word. God wants to upgrade you. All we got to do is believe. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we love you. God, we thank you that you are the one who upgrades our lives. Before you, God, we were lost. We were trying to make it on our own. We were trying to do it in our own strength. We were trying to do it in our own wisdom. But God, because you upgraded us, God, we know that now we can rest in you. Teach us, God, how to rest. Speak to us, God, in the times when we revert back to trying to do it on our own. Show us, God, that it is in you that we live, move, and have our being. That it is you who says that in Ephesians that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that's working in us. Remind us, God, how to enter into your rest. Because, God, we know that this is your earth and the earth is the Lord's. So we thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom. We thank you for reminding us, God, that it is you who, Father, who that we get the victory through you. And we honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us all stand. Please do not forget to give. We have the basket over here that you can give, and then we have multiple ways that you can give online. God wants to upgrade you. God wants us to enter into his rest and leave our work and our worry and our shame behind. behind. And I don't know who that was for, but I feel like, here go the prophet now. All right, I feel like it's a whole lot of folk in here that's dealing with some shame and some condemnation and some guilt that's not from God. And so what I want to offer you is this, is that the God who created the universe, the God who loves you enough to send his only begotten son, that you and I would have relationship with him, the God who is more than enough, who speaks a word and is, accepts you as is. He doesn't need you to perform. He doesn't need you to try harder. He doesn't need you to love better. He just needs you to say, I'm going to follow you. That's it. Lay it down. Don't separate yourself from God because of this. Draw closer, because literally, if you can see in your imagination, the more you go that way, the faster he is pursuing you, because he wants you. So slow down or stop and let him catch you. I can promise you, a life in Christ is much better than a life apart. Trust me. I got the book and the t-shirt. So, may the God of all creation, we ain't gonna get into that. May the God of all creation, who loves you more than you could ever imagine, more than you can think or fathom, continue to be with you, continue to show himself strong in your life, continue to provide every need that you have. This is my prayer. Go in peace. Amen.